This is Northwest Reports. I'm Maliha Sayed. Today, we're checking in with our co-host, Sarah Bernard, about how the latest season of the Mossback podcast is coming together. Mossback is a companion to Mossback's Northwest, a popular video series at Cascade PBS that features Canute Berger giving insight into our region's history. Sarah's been working with Canute and Stephen Haig, who co-hosts the companion podcast, to bring the show's fifth season to life. In this episode, Sarah takes us behind the scenes of the season, including how she's trying to transport listeners into the past through audio, tidbits she learned about the region's history, like when a Hollywood set designer camouflaged a Boeing plant during World War II, and her experience drinking clam nectar for the first time. So, Sarah, welcome back.
Thanks.
Where have you been?
Where have I been?
We've been missing you. I feel like people have not heard your voice in a minute.
That's right. Yeah, because I have been producing another podcast at Cascade PBS. We have several podcasts, including one that's called Mossback.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mossback, the official podcast of the Mossback's Northwest video series from Cascade PBS.
The Mossback's Northwest video series is a video series involving all kinds of stories about Pacific Northwest history, kind of everything and anything you can imagine. Canute Berger, the host, has dug up all kinds of stories, all kinds of little details and kernels and topics and characters and things that you just never know, even if you lived here for a long time. So yeah, so I've been producing that podcast and really had to sort of pivot and focus on that for the last month or two almost. So that's why I haven't really been on Northwest Reports.
So this season, is there a particular theme that y'all rallied around, or is it sort of across the board, Mossback covers all things PNW history?
I think the latter, yeah. It's kind of like each episode is a different story completely. So far, each season of Mossback and Mossback's Northwest has featured eight different stories that are completely different from one another.
We're headed down a rabbit hole to what they called Boeing Wonderland.
You know, everything from, for example, during World War II, Boeing and the U.S. Army got together to build like a fake roof, a fake neighborhood on top of the roof of Boeing's plant to hide it from what they thought might be a Japanese attack on a really strategic site because Boeing is building all these airplanes. And so anyway, so World War II military history story. We also have an episode about clams, all about clams.
All clams.
Which is many little stories within a topic, so many little stories. And then just like, for example, a famous beach hike led by former Washington State-based U.S. Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, who was really instrumental in preventing a highway from being built along the Olympic coast. Just anything and everything you can think of, a profile of Minoru Yamasaki, who designed the World Trade Center, but also the Pacific Science Center in Seattle. He's from Seattle, and he built a lot of buildings here. So just kind of on and on. And that's really kind of the draw, I would say, of the series, is that you really get a completely different story each episode. So kind of the breadth is what's impressive.
Yeah. How do these episodes come together? Like, how do you all sort of decide which ones you want to pursue? Is there like a big board of just 20 different ideas and then you all just throw darts at it and then pick the ones that come up?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Canute Berger is kind of the mastermind in terms of picking the topics. He's the one who does all this research. He digs around in all these primary documents. He's read like every newspaper for the last 200 years. I mean, every primary document you can imagine he's dug through. He knows all these different people. He gets, you know, emails and tips from various folks who have a, you know, personal stake in some aspect of history. So he gets ideas from all over the place, and then he kind of picks them. So Canute Berger is really the person who comes up with the ideas for the episodes. But then Mossback, the podcast, as I've been producing it, I've really tried to make it a true companion to the video series so that it's not just an audio version of a video. It's really a companion. We go deeper on the story itself, but we also go in different directions, spin-off stories. And the first few seasons I was the co-host with Knut, and now Stephen Haag, who's a former producer of the video series, is now the co-host. And each time I'm trying to kind of bring out personal stories from each of them. Certainly Knut has not only an incredible breadth of knowledge about Pacific Northwest history, but he also has a personal story about every aspect of it too. Like, he knows somebody or he has some personal experience. He's born and bred in Seattle. I think he's had, you know, multiple generations of his family also born and bred in Seattle. And so he has this sort of depth of personal experience as well. So I try to bring out personal experience. Also, Stephen Haag grew up in Seattle as well. So they both kind of have that local knowledge of just being here for their lives. But also this season, I'm really trying to bring in a lot of extra kind of field audio and also sound effects and different things. I've made it a little bit cinematic. It's kind of fun. I'm trying to transport the listener to a place and time.
I was going to ask about that, if any of the elements of this season feel different from how you've approached the previous seasons. And it sounds like there's a little bit more production on your end, or there's more emphasis on making it an experience for audiences.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think I've always had that hope, but I'm really leaning in as a lead producer this season on, making it as sort of produced as possible, if you will. I mean, cinematic is the word that keeps coming to mind just because, you know, for example, the first episode of this season is about the two deadliest avalanches ever to hit. In fact, in U.S. and Canadian history, and they both struck in the Pacific Northwest. And this is in the same, within 3 days of each other, in the same winter in the early 20th century. And then part of the story there is that both of these avalanches were deadly because they occurred in mountain passes through which there were some railroad lines.
The Pineapple Express swept through the Cascades and dumped a huge amount of snow, and it blocked the tracks. The trains couldn't go forward, and they were stuck.
So there's this whole story about people who were stuck on the, there was so much snow, it was a huge blizzard in the winter, and they were stuck on the train tracks for a full week, and then an avalanche took them out. It's horrifying. But I think part of what I've been trying to do is kind of create a sense of what that would have really been like. You know, we have avalanche sounds and blizzard sounds and howling winds and, you know, kind of railroad sounds and all different kinds of things that kind of transport a listener to that place. I think that's been a really fun part for me, and also, frankly, something I kind of say over and over, and a lot of audio people say over and over, but it's true, is that radio can be a really visual medium. And there's a way in which both the intimacy of someone's voice and someone telling their own story, but also the ways that certain iconic sounds can give us this sort of automatic transportation to this specific thing, whether it's the sound of the ocean or the wind in the trees or the sound of, you know, a steam engine or, you know, certain things that are just automatically, as soon as you hear it, you're there. So I've been trying to do that as much as possible because this is a history podcast, and so we're trying to bring listeners back to the past.
Is there anything that has been surprising just as you've been producing this season, like anything that went awry or anything that maybe was unexpected or you had to pivot?
Yeah, in terms of surprises in general, I would just say that my experience working on this podcast from the beginning, and especially when I was the co-host, like every single episode was like, I've never heard of that before. I had no idea. Like every single episode, I was like, well, I don't know anything about this. Tell me more, Knut. Or even things like I had heard, for example, about the Boeing camouflage job, this like fake roof thing. I'd heard about that. It's sort of a big story from our past, but it's not, I mean, there are so many details even within that story that I had no idea about. For example, that the U.S. Army hired a Hollywood set designer, a really famous like MGM Hollywood set designer, to move to Seattle and help them build this set on top of the roof. So they made these sort of half-size little houses, like as if they were building a theater set. And it was just supposed to be, you know, look like from the air, it's supposed to look like another suburban kind of neighborhood. So they hire this Hollywood set designer, and he happened to be, you know, kind of such a big deal and famous at the time. He married kind of the hottest Hollywood actress at that time, Veronica Lake. That's just like a whole little, you know, tangent of this story, which is that Veronica Lake, who was super famous at the time, she moved to Seattle and was this guy's wife, John Stuart Detley's wife, and they bought a house on Mercer Island, and there are all these newspaper clippings of, like, Veronica Lake shopping for a house.
An army wife whose name is Mrs. John S. Detley, but who is more famous as Veronica Lake, the actress, was house hunting in Seattle yesterday looking for an unfurnished six-room house with a garden in which she can putter in pigtails and overalls, and a good basement where the baby's clothes can be laundered.
Anyway, so it's just like all these little details, and I always find it sort of satisfying in a way to learn about all of these national or sometimes international characters or events that are linked in all these ways to Seattle. So another episode this season is about Buffalo Bill. Speaking of surprises again, like I barely really understood that he was a real guy. I basically, all in my head, I was like, well, Buffalo Bill, isn't he just kind of like a character? Maybe I knew, but I don't know. Didn't really know that he was a real person who actually did hunt buffalo and had this traveling Wild West show, which is sort of like rodeo meets theater meets sort of strange perpetuation of this colonialist Wild West myth that got really famous at the time all over the world. So this is a time period after the Civil War and into the late sort of the 1890s and early 20th century. He took his traveling show all over the States and all over Europe and came to Seattle in 1908 and 1909. And so there are all these stories that Canute will dig up that's like, you know, in some cases you've never heard of a person or never heard of a story or never heard of a thing. Or in some cases you might have heard of a thing, but you didn't know it had any relationship to Seattle, or you didn't, for example, maybe know any extra details about these stories. So yeah, that's another fun one. I had a lot of fun, maybe too much fun, with my Wild West music and theme.
You mentioned that, you know, you take these huge, long interviews and you whittle them down, and obviously there's things that don't make it in. Mm-hmm. Are there little tidbits or things that you could mention that just went on the cutting room floor and you couldn't really plug them into the episode?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. Sometimes, even though, frankly, I try to make these episodes like the sort of long form opportunity that MossBacks Northwest the video can't be because it's shorter, we do get a lot of extra stories in there, but then there are always extra stories that don't make it in. For example, the first episode of the season is about those avalanches. And again, the reason those avalanches were so deadly was because of the railroads, because of the time and place where they were trying to take these trains through these pretty treacherous mountains. There's sort of a whole line of discussion that goes beyond avalanches to just trains. And we went there. We went deep into trains. And Canute, for example, told this kind of funny story about his first memorable train trip, which he took, I believe, from Seattle to Chicago. And I think it's still a route that Amtrak still does, and I believe it's called the Empire Builder. And because he was only like a little kid, one of his biggest memories from that was that he discovered the BLT sandwich. He was like, it was a revelation. It's like, I had never had this sandwich before, and it was like, where has this sandwich been all my life? Anyway, so it was funny. And then he also, apparently the train hit a cow, so that was a whole drama. And there was this whole little section where Stephen and Canute were both kind of talking about their train experiences. And it was really fun, and I thought interesting, but I had to kind of cut it because it was way off course.
Literally off course.
Yeah. It's like
train was off the tracks.
Train was off the tracks. Yeah, exactly. We hit a cow and we...
You got to go on some fun field trips. And
yeah,
the one that sticks out in my mind, obviously, is clams, just because you got to mm-hmm. eat clams. And I always like a work-related adventure that ends up in food.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'd
totally
be curious to know, yeah, where did you go? What were some of the field trips like?
Yeah, for sure. So we did basically One day I called the podcast Field Trip Day, where we did three different spots in Seattle that pertained to three different episodes. Well, actually four different episodes, but three different stops. Yeah, and one of those stops was at Ivor's Acres of Clams on the waterfront. I think anybody in Seattle knows this restaurant chain, really famous. Ivor Haglund, the person who created that chain. You can eat inside or outside, but we actually had this amazing, it was cold but very sunny day, so it was really very exciting for us to be able to eat outside where we were accosted by seagulls.
No.
There's a whole, just like dozens and dozens and dozens of seagulls who make their living sitting on the little railing there and like waiting for people to leave their, you know, their fries and stuff. Anyway, so that was a fun trip. We got to eat clams, but also drink this thing that they sell there, which I had never heard of, called clam nectar, which sounds gross, but in fact, I mean, it's kind of like it's broth is what it is.
Okay.
But they call it clam nectar, I think, sort of initially because Ivor Haglund loved to tell stories about how kind of powerful, invigorating it was, kind of like nectar of the gods, this idea that it was so nourishing and also an aphrodisiac. And anyway, so clam nectar is still on the menu. You can get like a cup of it for like $2. This is very exciting. I'm going to have my first ever clam nectar moment here. Anyway, so we drank clam nectar, ate clams, and had clam chowder. Stephen Haig grew up also in this region, and he grew up clamming with his family. It was like a big deal. He had all these stories about digging for razor clams on the Washington coast with his mom and brother and how important that experience was. It was just kind of like a foundational childhood experience for him. And he had such happy memories from that. And he also talked about how delicious razor clams are. And sure enough, once again, I'm like, I never had that. I don't even know anything about that. I mean, I've heard of razor clams, but I've never been digging for razor clams. I've never actually had a razor clam, but now it's kind of on my list to try to get some someday. Also, we met a Mossback fan in the wild, which is funny. Something I also learned about going on a little field trip around Seattle with Knute Berger is that he's actually very famous and people really love him. And in fact, I mean, it's one thing maybe to run into a friend, but we ran into several people who are like huge fans of Mossback's Northwest. so we chatted for a few minutes with one of the Mossback fans at Ivor's, and they were kind of diehard fans of Ivor's and clam nectar and everything. So yeah, it was a very Seattle.
That's such a cute Seattle interaction. Yeah. The Venn diagram of Ivar's lovers and Mossback lovers.
Exactly.
Were there that day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like clams was kind of the episode that I had at top of mind because I've just heard so much about it. But in general, it just sounds like it's going to be such a fun season and there's already a few episodes out. Where can people find the show?
Yeah, well, just look for Mossback wherever you get your podcasts or crosscut.com/podcast. Every Friday they get published and there are a lot of fun stories this season.
Thanks so much for coming back to the show. It feels like mother returning home.
No problem. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to Northwest Reports. This week's guest was Sarah Bernard. This episode was produced by me, Maliha Sayed, and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. The story editor was Ryan Familiner. Our executive producer is Sarah Menzies. You can subscribe to Northwest Reports wherever you listen. And whatever platform you're listening on, please review us. We'd love to know what you think of the show. Also, if you would like to support the work we do at Cascade PBS, whether it's our lineup of podcasts, the video docuseries we stream every week, or the in-depth reporting we deliver every day, go to crosscut.com/membership. In addition to supporting our journalism, members receive complete access to the on-demand programming of Cascade PBS. For the latest political, environmental, and culture news from the Pacific Northwest, visit crosscut.com. Northwest Reports is a product of Cascade PBS. I'm Maliha Sayed. We'll be back soon with another episode.